May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 113. Who but the soul that's led to know how just and holy is the Lord, will to the cross of Christ repair and seek salvation only there. Hymn 113.
Thank you. Let us read together in the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 2, and a few verses from chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 2. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And to this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the circumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and a worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered, and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Taste not, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honour to the satisfying of the flesh. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. Thus far we read. May the Lord bless the reading of that portion of his sacred word to our souls, and teach us to pray. O Lord, we come once more before thee, in all our spiritual poverty and ignorance and foolishness. For Lord, thou knowest what we are, and thou knowest what our sins deserve. But Lord, we would come and fall at thy feet, pleading with thee that thou will have mercy upon us this evening, as we have been favoured to gather once more in thy earthly courts. But we pray that thou wilt come by thy dear Holy Spirit, and to make thy mighty power known in the hearts of each one of us that have gathered. Oh, leave not any of us to gather in vain. For Lord, thou knowest how we've gathered here, the reason why we are here, the exercises of each soul. Lord, thou knowest. But, O Lord, thou knowest we come, conscious of thy infinite holiness, and that thou knowest and seest us through and through, for all is naked and open before the God with whom we have to do. And, Lord, we pray that we may not be left to a form of preaching, a form of prayer, a form of hearing. Lord, it's the power we want, known and felt in our hearts. And we pray that that power which thou alone dost give and apply the truth may be known and felt this night in this place, that something therein might be accomplished in poor sinners' hearts, wherein thy name is honoured and glorified. Lord, we would come then, seeking for mercy, but Lord, we pray for that precious grace of living faith, to look to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, to behold in him all our salvation and all our desire, but with faith in exercise in our hearts, believing that that sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice that was made whilst here below, that atoning blood shed in Gethsemane and at Calvary, thy glorious righteousness wrought out in thy life, thy sufferings and thy death for thy dear people, Lord, we pray that, oh, that faith may be given to each one of us now, pleading with thee that thou wouldest remember us once more for Jesus' sake and what he is and what he has done. For Lord, it's thee we want, it's thy voice to hear, and oh, might it please thee to meet with souls this night. Thou knowest those souls that are hungry and thirsting after thee, those that have gathered with an exercise in their hearts, waiting to hear what thou wilt speak, walking in a path of afflictions, troubles and trials. Lord, thou knowest the paths of thy people. But, O Lord, we pray that thou wilt come just where we are, and might it please thee to pour in the oil and the wine of the gospel to some poor sin-sick soul, some soul waiting upon thee at the throne of grace, conscious of what they are and what their sins deserve, feeling to be far off, out of the secret. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt in thine infinite mercy deal with cases this night. Oh, might beggars be lifted up from the dunghill of self and all that is of the creature. Those, Lord, feeling to be bound in affliction and iron, oh, do open those prison doors and bring them forth as only thou canst. And Lord, we pray for those tossed up and down upon the tempests of life, of the many temptations of the adversary to their souls, both within and felt and without. O gracious God, come and deliver such. Oh, break that storm of calm, we pray. May the sweetness and blessedness of the gospel, oh, may it be the meat and drink to such tried, tempted souls, that ere they leave thy house this night, their soul might be refreshed and strengthened, and Lord, faith enlivened, that they may be enabled thereby to go on their way looking unto Jesus. Lord, we pray for the dear young people that have gathered. Remember them each in much mercy. Lord, thou knowest those not here this night, and we bear them before thee as we would include them in our prayers. Oh, do be with them. Preserve them, Lord, in the days of their youth. Oh, do set a hedge around about them, we pray. Keep them from the evils of the world. Leave them not to be ensnared and drawn aside by the many temptations with which they're surrounded. Oh, Lord, give to them each, if it could please thee, a tender spirit. May there be found within their hearts the tender fear of the Lord, that they may be found humble seekers after thee. O Lord, do work mightily in the hearts of the young, if it could please thee. And oh, may there be among them, Lord, those souls who are brought in their youthful days to testify of thy love and mercy to them. Oh, Lord, do richly bless them in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for those older in life, those parents, Lord, nor having the concern and exercise of their loved ones, causing to oftentimes come to the throne of grace. Lord, we pray that thou remember them in all their concerns, and might it please thee to grant to them the desires of their heart. Lord, thou hast said, thou wilt satisfy the longing soul and fill the hungry soul with goodness. And thou knowest, Lord, those longing souls before thee this night, those who are burdened and exercised, long to know thy deliverance, bowed down with guilt and many, many fears, condemned in their own hearts and consciences, conscious of what they are and what their sins deserve. Oh, Lord, bring them forth, we pray. Might there be a crumb from the Master's table for such souls. And, Lord, we pray that, oh, that thou will richly bless them in thy time with those spiritual blessings which are found in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, those tokens of thy love and mercy to their souls. Lord, we pray, oh, that thou will remember each one before thee. Those of us older in life, we pray and seek that thou will remember each one in much mercy. As the days lengthen and the shadows appear in the evening time of life, oh Lord, may there be that constant exercise in each of our hearts, that we might have a clearer view of the Lord Jesus Christ, a clearer view of our interest in him and what he has done. Lord, oh, do clear our misty sight. Deliver us, Lord, from that darkness often found within on account of our many sins and transgressions. Oh, Lord, lighten our darkness, we pray. Shine into our poor hearts and manifest thyself to us as thou dost not unto the world. Lord, we pray for especially for any who are afflicted, unable to gather in thy house this night. Remember them in much mercy as we bear them before thee. Lord, as we have been reminded in that opening hymn, thou art still that same heavenly physician. And Lord, no case is too hard for thee. We pray, Lord, oh, that thou wilt come, and if it is thy will, put forth thy healing hand. But oh, that these things might be sanctified to us. Lord, that we may see thy hand in all thy dealings with us, in the fulfillment of thy sovereign purposes toward a poor, needy sinner. Lord, it's thy work. Oh, let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Lord, we pray then for the little church here, and seek that thou wilt remember each one or each member. Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless them together, and oh, may they ever dwell together in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace. And Lord, we pray that this may be a truly prosperous corner of thy vineyard, that many souls may be wrought upon in this place and brought to testify of thy goodness and mercy to them. Add to this little church such as shall be saved. Lord, we pray for those who carry the responsibility here. Remember them each in much mercy. Be with the deacons, do grant them continually thy upholding grace. Thou knowest their felt need, and doubtless their felt poverty. But Lord, thou art the sufficiency of thy dear people. May they continually prove it, as they fulfill that office they're being called to. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant to them the desires of their own heart concerning this house of prayer and concerning their own cases. Lord, thou knowest, we commit them unto thee. We pray for all thy true sent servants. Thou knowest where they're labouring this night. Remember each one in much mercy. Lord, thou knowest how oftentimes we come in felt poverty and ignorance and foolishness. And Lord, we come once more this night, completely dependent upon thee, pleading with thee that thou wilt come once more and fill our seed basket. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt cause thy voice to be heard, and that souls might be blessed. We view the solemn state in Zion today, in our own little group of churches. Lord, how few gather in thy earthly courts, and Lord, how few seem wrought upon. How little power is felt both in the pulpit and in the pew. And Lord, is there not a cause? Is it not our many sins and transgressions that have caused thee to hide thy face? Oh Lord, do show them to us. Separate us from them. Bring us to thy feet in real repentance and true confession. And Lord, we pray that there yet may be a godly increase amongst the churches. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt keep those who have the inclination to wander into other things. Lord, preserve and keep them. Oh, thou knowest the many temptations thy dear people know. Oh, gracious God, preserve each one from that enemy to their souls, who seeks continually to distress the Lord's people and cause them to fall. Lord, hold up our goings in thy paths, that our footsteps slip not. Set a watch before our mouths, and keep the door of our lips. For Lord, we are only as we are kept, and thou knowest what poor, weak, foolish creatures we are. Hold us up, and we shall be saved. Lord, we pray then for the spiritual prosperity of Zion. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt comfort those that mourn. Lord, we pray that thou wilt work mightily yet. There may be that fruit brought forth to thine honour and thy glory in the hearts and lives of thy dear people. We pray for this guilty land, and Lord, oh, thou seest all that is taking place, the wickedness and evil which abounds, which are now so openly evident. Oh, gracious God, oh, have mercy upon us, if it could please thee. And yet, Lord, we deserve thy righteous judgments. Oh, Lord, thou art upon us now. Oh, for grace to see it. Grace, Lord, that it might bring us to thy feet in real confession, pleading that thou wilt yet appear, if it could please thee, in this once favoured land. Lord, oh, that thou wilt, for thine own great name's sake, and for the sake of thy remnant, O Lord, we pray, oh, that thou wilt prepare us each for the unknown path. The future, Lord, is wisely hid, but, oh, Lord, we know not what is before us, but, oh, we pray for more grace. Increase our faith. Draw us to thyself. Keep us clinging and cleaving to thee. And, Lord, leave us not to be overtaken with unbelief. The many doubts and fears found within our poor hearts, Lord, thou knowest. Oh, do bring us, as only thou canst. Draw us to thyself, and oh, do grant us that grace of faith, to live upon thee, to trust in thee, to cast all our care upon thee, believing that thou art able to do far more abundantly than ever we could ask or even think. Now, Lord, we would seek a thankful heart for all thy mercies and favours to us, despite all we are and all our sins deserve. Lord, we pray for that precious gift of real repentance in exercise in our hearts, that true confession, that godly sorrow for sin. And Lord, we pray that we may continually plead the precious blood, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ for our acceptance. And now as we turn to thy word, do come and open up the truth to us. Lead us into those truths which couch beneath. But oh, do deliver us now from all intruding carnal worldly thoughts, being overtaken with the cares of this life. Do shut us into thyself. And Lord, now for a few moments, draw near and feed our souls with living bread. And now let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, as we ask these petitions in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 89. When Adam by transgression fell, and conscious fled his Maker's face, linked in clandestine league with hell, he ruined all his future race. The seeds of evil once brought in increased and filled the world with sin. Hymn 89.
the word that rests upon my spirit to bring before you this evening as the Lord will enable me. You'll find in the chapter that we read, in the epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. The hymn that we have just been singing together speaks of that sin which Adam committed in Eden's garden, and through that sin, death, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And the whole of mankind, through that sin, Adam's posterity, are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And those whom the Lord set his love upon in eternity past, to whom he would display the wonders of his grace, and to call them out of that wretched state they were found by nature, into the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What favoured characters they are. And my dear friend, if you and I are amongst them, then we shall know in our own poor hearts that great change wrought when the Holy Spirit in that appointed time calls each one of the Lord's people by his grace and brings them out of that wretched state by nature to see their need, and to see alone where that need can be supplied, in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who stood in the room and place of each one of his dear people to suffer and shed his blood and die and rise again for their justification. And as I was as we were meditating upon this word, it seemed such a solemn word to me. For ye are dead. For ye are dead. Oh, my dear friend, it is the state each one of us here were born into this world, dead in trespasses and in sins. Unknown, not realizing the solemn state in which they're found, a heart exceedingly sinful, a corrupt affection, a perverse will, a darkened understanding, and an enmity against God. Such are dead in trespasses and in sins. Now, beloved friend, the word in our text speaks of in a different way, and that is this: it is those who are brought to know that solemn state in which they are found by nature, and when they are, they feel to be dead, lacking in spiritual life, unable to do anything for themselves, feeling to be dead and yet quickened into divine life through the work of the dear Holy Spirit in your poor heart and mine. But ye are dead. Well, what does this word mean then in the text? Let us go back to the dear apostle's letter to the Colossians. It speaks to us, and all his epistles speak to us of the Lord Jesus Christ, and sets before those to whom he wrote, and to all of us who read it, who these truths are recorded, it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of poor needy sinners, and directs each one to him, the only one who can save his people and has saved his people from their sins. But this word, this epistle, speaks especially, I believe, of union with Christ. You know those epistles? The dear apostle dwells often upon one special aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians, he speaks of the church of Christ. In those epistles to the Thessalonians, he speaks of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this epistle, he speaks of that sacred union with each one of the Lord's people have with their Lord and Saviour. The hymn writer says, in union with the Lamb, from condemnation free. And my dear friend, if we're amongst those who are joined to the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, you say, how? Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That union goes back to the covenant of grace made between the eternal three, that glorious plan of salvation, those whom God set his love upon to display the wonders of his grace, each one found in that covenant, each one will be called by grace in time and prepared for that eternal habitation, that glorious inheritance the Lord has promised to each one of his chosen people. Union with Christ. Now, have you noticed in this epistle how he dwells much upon union, speaks of it in Christ, one in him? The Lord Jesus Christ said this whilst here below, ye in me and I in you. And my dear friend, it's a precious mystery and yet a glorious truth, a holy, infinitely pure Son of God in union with a vile, hell-deserving sinner. My dear friend, by carnal reason, you'll say, how can that be? Well, my dear friend, it's by God's appointed decree, and that is that as he chose his dear people in Christ, it's to those he would display the wonders of his grace. Did you notice in the chapter we read continually of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. Union with Christ. And it is through that indissoluble union every blessing comes to the Lord's living family. Those chosen in the dear Saviour before the foundation of the world, it's those blessings appointed from eternity past that his dear people should be the recipients of in time. And my dear friend, if the Lord has favoured your soul, go back to those days when he spoke into your poor heart. He brought you out of that wretched state that you were found in by nature, and raised you up to a hope in his mercy. My dear friend, it flows through that union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every grace and every blessing, the hymn writer says, comes to us through Jesus' blood. It flows through that union manifested on the cross at Calvary, as there he laid down his life that his dear people might live forever. So then, what does this word mean? For ye are dead. Well, it means this, beloved friend. If you know something of the Holy Spirit's work in your poor hearts, quickened into divine life, there'll be that which you'll desire to be delivered from. That wretched state that you're found in by nature. And it is then, my dear friend, you'll be found calling for mercy, pleading with God for mercy for Jesus' sake. There'll be a dying to self and all that is of the creature. Dying to all hope in self. There'll be a dying to the love of the world and the pleasures of it. The effect of the dear Holy Spirit's work in your poor heart and mine. For ye are dead. Dead to the world. Dead to self. Dead to all that is of the creature. But my dear friend, it means this too, that when the Lord Jesus Christ, in that life which he lived that perfect life for his people. Perfect obedience to God's holy law in every jot and tittle. That obedience, my dear friend, it was, as one would speak, as a vicarious obedience. He stood in the sinner's room and place and stead and obeyed that holy law for his dear people. That law made, that demands of that made under the law on account of the sins of his dear people might be satisfied. In his person, in all that he passed through, the sufferings that he endured of the sin, for the sins of the whole election of grace, every one laid upon the dear Saviour. And there God's wrath poured out upon him in Gethsemane and at Calvary. That alone which God's justice demanded, satisfaction for those disobedience to God's holy law, walking contrary to him in those days of unregeneracy, he bore the curse of the law for his dear people, and that thereby his people are dead to the law. Now that doesn't mean that that law has no place in our lives now. Beloved friends, that law remains. It's the holy law of God. It speaks to us of God's holiness. But that one is dead now. When the Lord Jesus Christ died for his people, he went to the end of the law for righteousness to them, for them that believe. And so that the demands of God's holy law have been satisfied. That is, on account of all their sins, past, present, and future. But my dear friend, it is a consciousness of that brings that quickened soul to the mercy seat. Conscious of what they are and what their sins deserve. And my dear friend, we shall ever remember that and ever be reminded of it as we journey through this wilderness here below. But you see, it's that work that the Lord has accomplished for his dear people as he stood in their room and place and stead. They're dead to the world, dead to self, and dead to the demands of God's holy law. For ye are dead, these souls who are brought to know these precious truths, to walk in that path the Lord has appointed for them, in quickening them into divine life, and brought to seek after this great salvation in the person of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. For ye are dead. Dead. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, my dear friend, that one quickened into divine life at the very beginning of the way, when that soul is first brought to know their need and what their sins deserve, and brought to the footstool of mercy, pleading with God that he'd have mercy upon you. And my dear friend, and oh, how that cry was a real cry. It came forth from the innermost recesses of your heart. Nothing could satisfy but for the Lord to come and know that mercy that flows from Calvary by be known and felt in their poor hearts. The path of the Lord's living family, the evidence of spiritual life. That spiritual life, my dear friend, none of us had when born into this world. Adam lost it. And it was alone through the Lord Jesus Christ, his dear people, are brought to know this life, brought to live upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Because I live, ye shall live also. It means this, that life that one possesses when quickened into divine life, it flows alone through the life of Christ. It flows through Gethsemane and at Calvary. And it's alone that one is brought to know the source of that life, but my dear friend too, to enter into a little measure of God's love manifested in making that provision for his dear people, unworthy, wretched, hell-deserving sinners they are, but that life which the Lord bestows upon his dear people when they're quickened into divine life, that can never change. It can never be severed. It can never end. It's eternal life. The hymn writer says, once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. You're dead, but your life is hid with Christ in God. That's the secret. Because that life which is imparted at the very beginning of the way, the Lord upholds, maintains, sustains, nourishes. It is alone through his power put forth that that one is enabled to continue in that spiritual path which the Lord has appointed for him. And how will it be? It'll be this: laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, to run with patience that race set before us, looking unto Jesus. That's how that one will live, my dear friend, in dependence upon their Lord and Saviour. And that life, my dear friend, will ebb and flow feelingly in our own poor hearts. It can, my dear friend, that life remains the same. It cannot change. It is eternal life. And when a child of God leaves this world, it is but a continuation of that life. Having been brought to know a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer, in this world, they'll know him when they enter into glory at last. You see, my dear friend, there's not one in glory who did not know the Lord Jesus Christ whilst here below, possessors of that eternal life, and brought to live upon the Lord Jesus to supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ. Now, my dear friend, we would desire to come now to the spiritual experiences of the Lord's living family as they are brought to know these solemn truths in their own lives. You know, my dear friend, when that soul is quickened into divine life, if you spoke of to them of that context as they display the evidence of it in the things that they do or rather don't do, the things that they say, the great change wrought, that one would find it difficult to believe because they feel so dead within their own poor hearts, lifeless. Oh, dear friend, you know it. Have you been brought there? I believe the Lord's people are brought there oftentimes in their soul's experience. Here below, sometimes that life which the Lord has imparted, we are brought, drawn by the Father to the Son, and we feel the enlivening power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that life which flows through him. And then there is that gracious exercise of faith. Then there are those living desires in our heart, seeking to know him, to seeking to hear his voice, desiring to know and feel his presence, desiring to do what is right in his sight. It is to live upon his grace day by day. But my dear friend, there are those other times in our soul's experience when we feel to be so dead, feelingly, spiritually. Do you know what it is, my dear friend, to feel so lifeless in the things of God? There is a cause. And what is that cause? Sin. Sin, my dear friend, brings darkness into the heart of every one of the Lord's living family. Because sin flows from that prince of darkness, Satan himself. And when we are brought and found in those places and conditions, as we journey through this wilderness here below, what do we find? We cannot pray. That is, with a gracious exercise in our hearts. It seems to be a mere repetition of words, a form. Don't we know it, my dear friend? Doesn't it try you? The heavens as brass. You cry unto the Lord. You know a little of what it was when Jeremiah said, I cry and shout, and he shutteth out my prayer. To know what Job felt, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. And oh, what is it? You look within your own poor heart. You feel the darkness there. You feel the lack of gracious exercise in the things of God. And the devil is close at hand. And he tells you that this is the end of it now. Now you will be discovered to others what a hypocrite you are. You've made this profession. You've spoken to others of those things that you, of the Lord, had done for you. And now where you are, where are you? Everything seems to be dark. No life found within. Well, my dear friend, I believe the Lord, Lord's people know something of this feeling sense of this death within. But you know, that life once imparted can never be removed. It's impossible. But oftentimes the Lord's dear people come into paths and experiences, oftentimes through the devil's suggestions and the devil's temptations, and sometimes solemnly, don't we fall? It may not be outwardly, but inwardly, in our own poor hearts, as we find the devil with his evil suggestions, and he knows our weaknesses. And there are those opportunities he presents to the Lord's living family. And oh, how we tremble at the prospect, the power of indwelling sin within our hearts. We cannot keep ourselves. We cannot keep alive our own souls. But where does it bring us, my dear friend? Brings us to the throne of grace. And there's a sweet renewing of that life, a felt sense of it. Now you can pour out your heart before him. Now there's life in your poor petitions. There's a reality in them. There are those things that you feel to need and desire to be delivered from. That power of evil within your heart. Perhaps some of you may say, a child of God, the power of evil and sin within their hearts. You know, you speak to every exercised child of God, they'll acknowledge the solemn truth of it. And it'll be a constant wrestling against it, a constant conflict in their own poor hearts. And yet, my dear friend, the very conflict brings many a cry from their lips, pleading with the Lord for strength, for help, for grace, to be kept, to be preserved. The evidence of spiritual life within. And you know, if we are amongst the Lord's living family, it'll bring us to one place in these spiritual exercises to see increasingly our own foolishness, our own wretched state by nature, that nature which we still have, that propensity to sin. And yet it'll bring many a cry, many a tear, many a groan, and many a sigh, I believe, to those souls so exercised. They brought to mourn over their condition. But beloved friend, the effect in that poor heart is that the Lord enlivens, increases their faith, and they're enabled to continue looking unto Jesus. We read of those characters, don't we? And we often refer to them because I believe they speak of the spiritual experiences of the Lord's people. Those characters in Psalm 107. Look at the distresses they were in, the dark places they were found. The afflicted fall on account of his rebellion. The one who is abound in affliction and iron, firm, unable to be to deliver himself. The one who was tossed up and down upon the sea of temptations, and tossed about with temptations both within and without. But it brought them all to cry unto the Lord and seek that he had come and deliver them from their distresses. And dear friend, when we come in our troubles and distresses, have you not known, have I not known those deliverances? The Lord appears and now grants and speaks a sweet word of comfort, a word of assurance, a word testifying of his love and mercy to your soul. And your little faith is strengthened. Now you're unable to continue. But what is the effect of it? It's made the dear Lord Jesus precious to your soul. The one through whom that life once imparted at the very beginning of the way, the author and finisher of our faith. It makes the dear Lord Jesus Christ precious. There's a longing desire to know more of him, a longing desire that he'd come and grant us another testimony, another seal of his love and mercy to our soul. Ah, then, my dear friend, you'll know the answer to that petition that the psalmist offered up. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. For you're dead, but your life is hid with Christ in God. You see, that child of God, in all the trials, the troubles, and afflictions, and tempests, and temptations of life, this glorious truth in our text remains. as it ever will, your life is hid with Christ in God. And that life which he has imparted to you, he will sustain, he will nourish it, that soul will be fed with spiritual food, but not before we are brought to know our need of it and brought to those places, those extremities, those ends of the earth experiences. It brings us and draws us nearer to the dear Lord Jesus. But you know, it's in these paths that child of God proves God's love to their souls. They prove his faithfulness to his word, his faithfulness to his precious promises, who has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Ah, you've been perhaps very tried as to whether the Lord has forsaken you. The devil, so he'll certainly tell you. But my dear friend, it can never be. Why? Your life is hid with Christ in God. And my dear friend, that one, the very beginning of the way, quickened into divine life, is as sure of entering into glory at last as that poor pilgrim, as he's journeyed through many storms and temptations. That truth remains the same. Your life is hid with Christ in God. The word goes on, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. That's the end, the glorious end of these characters who are eternally safe in the Lord Jesus, who have been brought through all the trials and troubles of life, brought to lean harder upon the Lord, that thereby that dear apostle was enabled to say, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. What a place that dear apostle was found in, to be brought to and able to declare it truly from his heart. And you know, my dear friend, I believe when we're in our right minds, that's where you and I will desire to be, to live upon Christ, to trust in him, to commit all our way unto him, but oh, to sweetly rest alone in him and what he has done. You're dead, but your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Ridout will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Fred Ince on Tuesday evening next week. And would the members stay behind after this service, please? Let us close with hymn 723. Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you. Full of pity, joined with power, he is able, he is willing, doubt no more. Hymn 723.
thine own word. And do pardon all that has been amiss in our worship this evening. But that which has been of thee, do cause to abide in our hearts, and seal it there by the Holy Spirit. Watch over us now as we part. Grant journeying mercies. Be with us each through the remainder of our little lives here below, and prepare us for eternity. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all. Amen.